Good afternoon. Welcome to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Glad to have you with us today. We got a great show. I always say that. There's got to be.
It's always true.
I know. Well, not no. We've actually had one that was not great. It was unbelievably great.
we'll warn the audience at the beginning if it's not going to be a great show.
It is a good show. Peter Burns is back with us, Entrepreneur Credit Card. He was on earlier last week, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Last Friday.
And we were talking about his company and what he's doing. He's back today to talk about something for you entrepreneurs out there that need to borrow money. You need some startup capital. He's got an incredible program. I'm a tad skeptical that this is as cool as he says it is. So maybe we can have some of you actually go through the process if you're interested in raising some capital and see if it actually works for you. We'll talk with Peter in just a few minutes. We're going to have on a little bit later in the show, it's Dakota Herald, correct?
Dakota, yeah.
With iFly. Now, tell us about iFly, Aaron. You set this up for them to be here with us today.
iFly is an indoor skydiving company. There are actually about 72 of them across the country, one in Mission Valley currently, and I believe they're opening a second in Oceanside. So if you want the thrill of skydiving without actually jumping out of the airplane, this is probably
indoor skydiving.
Indoor skydiving.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You get to fly around inside.
I think there's like a jet engine that's propping you up in the air.
So we're going to talk to Dakota Herald, right?
That's correct.
From iFly, a little bit later in the show. Our main guest today, the one that is we're going to spend most of our time with, is Deborah Fox. She is a very accomplished financial planner and workflow expert, which is the part that's most fascinating to me. Our world has become so complex these days that getting things done with all the different tasks that every business has is almost overwhelming to us. And Deborah's figured out some pretty cool things about how to manage complexity with tools that are already available to us that we don't even know how to use yet. So we're going to be speaking with Deborah in just a few minutes. Let's get to Peter Burns, Entrepreneur Credit Card. Peter, welcome back.
Thanks, Bob.
I said I was a little bit skeptical. I mean, when you talked about what you can do with this Entrepreneur Credit Card, it almost sounds too easy. Tell us a little bit about what you're saying that you're working on or you're getting ready to do.
Sure. Well, it really is as easy as I shared last week, and that's because it's an aggregation of 5 or 10 of the largest banks in the United States that were trying to figure out a way to put more money on the street. And they decided they all had a threshold of the amount that they would be at risk with one individual. But when they all came together and aggregated it, it's 5 times more than an individual can apply on their own. And it also has the benefit of not having hard pulls on your credit every time you make an application for a particular credit card or credit line. So they made it very simple. They made it very seamless, and I work with the underwriter that put that whole deal together, and the underwriter has created an algorithm that analyzes 121 points of your uploaded 3 credit reports, and in 30 seconds will let you know if you're approved or not, subject to or not, and the amount that you're approved for. So the low line is approximately $25,000. The highest you can get on this particular tool is $175,000. And the underwriter has been promoting this product year or two, and they've done $250 million.
So this is already in the works.
Oh, yeah. It's totally, totally functional and working. And my friend Bruce Blackman was also on the show with me, who brought this concept to me. He had asked me to try to figure out a way, how can I market this? What do I call it? It's hard to explain 5 combined lines of credit under one algorithm that approves you. So I said, real simple, people understand credit cards. It's ostensibly used for any business purpose but loaned to an individual. You don't actually have to have a business. Your entire basis of application and approval is your FICO score.
Now, I want to get into that in just a second, because I want to give out the information for people. Actually, you know what? Let's do that now. Do you have a website people can go to look this up?
I do.
What is that?
It's info.entrepreneurcardservices.com, and then just do /ECC whatever you call it, hyphen video. Now, what that does is it takes you to a little video that in 2 minutes explains the entire process. At the end of the video is actually a direct application link, which shares what information you have to put in, which is minimal, and it allows you to upload your 3 credit reports. Once that's put and you press apply, 30 seconds later, you know if you got approved or not for what it was approved for.
I tried that. And it just laughed at me.
Yeah. Not everyone gets approved.
So for lenders who have capital that they want to put out, money that they're willing to lend, this allows them to diversify. There's other banks that are involved, but they also get a lot more entrepreneurs, so they're not taking on the risk of just one individual. They're spreading that risk out.
Exactly. Right? And of course, they're making the amount that much more attractive. To start a business, it requires more than the $10,000 you could get from one bank. That would maybe put it on a credit card. See, what happens if you try to do this yourself and make multiple applications for different credit deals?
By the time you've done that, you've lowered your credit score a bit.
And then you get turned down. So if you get 5, you'd get through 2, maybe. And then you'd get shut down because your credit score would be impacted. In this particular case, they do it in one flowing way. Boom, you go, and 5 times what you get.
So if there's anybody listening that is in the situation where they need capital for their business or whatever, and they have a decent credit score, now where does that decent credit score start at? I think you said 700 last
time.
Around
700 is actually the ultimate, 700 plus, 720. You could conceivably get approved for a lower amount at 680. Below that, don't bother.
Okay. So somebody listening, they could go online right now to info.entrepreneurcreditcardservices.
Yes.
Entrepreneur Card Services, right?
Yes.
So info.entrepreneurcardservices.com.
Right.
And that's where you go to watch the little video, a 2-minute video, and then they can apply. From the time they apply till the time they have an answer, is that you said that's fairly quick, right?
30 seconds.
You can hold your breath that long.
And especially you, Bob, don't do it.
So we want people that are listening, if they're interested in this, to try this, see how it works. If somebody actually gets approved and wants to come on and talk about the business they're starting with it, would you come back with them?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to walk them through. I have 100, 150 startups underneath my belt. And
you have 150 startups because you're either really good at it or you're not good at
all
it?
All the above. Some hit it out of the park. Some not so much, as I explained my wonderful foray into retail preppy clothing on Sanibel Island.
Yeah, I remember that story. It's the one thing that I came away from your interview was you have a lot of clothes.
Great. A lot of clothes. but I will be happy to walk through the individual who has an idea, and now they have the gas in the tank through our financing mechanism.
And so if they do get approved, what happens? They get a credit card in the mail within a week?
The underwriters contact them with a series of different notifications, what's going to happen, and then they get on the phone and call them. They walk them through. Usually takes about 3 weeks, and they actually end up with receiving not one entrepreneur credit card, but several cards from the bigger banks, all working in the same unification. See, our particular credit lines have 0% interest for 12 to 21 months. And because the only requirement is to pay 1% to 2% of the outstanding balance that you have drawn from the credit card balances, it's a revolving line credit. It never has to be paid back. So it's really free money for a year to almost 2 years.
And then after that,
the regular interest rate applies to whatever your credit is.
They really do need to have a way to pay it back.
They do. I mean, but at least you got a year or two to figure it out.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. If somebody can't figure it out in a year or two, they probably shouldn't borrow the money in the beginning, right?
It is. And you know what a line of credit is? It's a revolving line of credit. It means it never actually has to be paid off. As long as you pay the 1% or 2% of the principal every month, you're fine. It goes right back onto the credit line again.
Info.entrepreneurcardservices. There we go. Entrepreneurcardservices.com. Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll have you back again.
Great.
Up next, we're going to talk with Deborah Fox. She is an expert in organization of your business. You will want to stay tuned to hear that. You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. You want a podcast of the show? Of course you do. Go to www.espn1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Glad you're with us today. I just talked with Peter Burns at Entrepreneur Credit Card. Interesting concept. It would be really interesting. I keep using the word interesting. I got to come up with a synonym. Anyhow, it would be great if somebody actually went through that process at info.entrepreneurcardservices.com and actually got approved. I'd like to hear from you if you do that. And if you've got a business idea and you want to talk about it on air, we'll bring Peter back and we'll sit down and sing Kumbaya and happy trails and whatever and talk about your business opportunity.
I might do it just so you bring me back on the show.
Can I borrow the money you get?
Where's our crickets?
our next guest, Deborah Fox, is with us. She is really interesting to me from the standpoint of business organization, which in my opinion is probably one of the most important factors moving forward with the speed at which everything is changing. If you don't have good systems in place, you're really setting yourself up for failure. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Glad you could be here. Let's tell the audience a little bit about your background. You have a substantial background in financial services, but we're going to talk about workflows that are generally applicable to all businesses. But could you give us a little review of your background?
Sure. I have been a longtime practicing financial advisor for about 30 years now, and I actually have three companies. One is a specialty company, which is called Late Stage College Planning Services, Fox College Funding, and we help parents with college-bound high school student come up with strategies to reduce the out-of-pocket cost of college. We save them typically $20,000 to $40,000 on average over the 4 years. And then I have a holistic planning firm also that has some interesting dynamics called Essential Planners. And then I have a consulting company for the financial advice industry where I actually our firm helps other advisory firms put efficient processes in place and helps them think through their technology and integrating the areas of their business that need to flow seamlessly with each other.
You know, what's fascinating to me, and by the way, you're headquartered here in San Diego, right?
I am.
Southern California.
I'm downtown.
So what's fascinating to me is that of all the businesses that are out there, I think medicine and financial services are two that are really laden down with rules and regulations, and so many different things come together for the medical industry, for the financial industry, to track everything that somebody has to track to be in that business really requires some kind of automated system. And from what I understand of what you do, you use a process called workflows, which is kind of a vernacular for the CRMs these days?
Well, workflows are just documented processes, and workflows can be managed manually or they can be automated by using technology, and CRM is one type of technology that certainly should have workflow in it. And a good CRM system will have a workflow engine so that processes can be programmed in so that various processes and the steps of certain, the detailed steps of a particular process can be implemented and passed on from staff member to staff member seamlessly, and everything documented and everyone able to have a central place where one can see where a process is at or where a client, what a client situation is or customer situation. So it becomes really the hub of the business. The CRM and workflow processes should be the hub where everything emanates.
My guess is most companies these days are kind of centric to the CRM. I mean, it seems like that kind of is the base of most of the communication that happens, because that really manages the clients and what happens with the clients or the customers. So let's take an example. of somebody who has a business, maybe it's a manufacturing company, and they're going to onboard a new customer. They've made a sale. Now the process has to start with, you know, getting the credit applications in from the customer, approving them for their terms, getting their first order shipped out, et cetera, et cetera. So there might be 20 different steps in onboarding a new customer to a manufacturing company. Kind of describe how a workflow that you would put together might manage that in an efficient manner, as opposed to what would normally happen with somebody like me that would put everything on scraps of paper and then lose them.
Sure. And well, the first thing I'll say is Outlook is not a workflow, not a workflow engine, and it's not a CRM. It's surprising how often I hear firms say that, oh yes, we're organized, we use Outlook.
Was never intended to be that. It was a contact manager, database manager, right?
That's right. So a workflow system has really three components to it, or there's three parts of a workflow. The workflow is the higher level view of the task, and then each workflow step has steps, and the step should have a procedure. In other words, the details of exactly how to complete that step. And this is there are many firms that have some workflow steps in place, but if the person that was responsible for a particular job or task left the company, they would be in a lurch because there was nothing in writing.
That brain trust went away.
That's right. And so there was no step-by-step detailed process, a checklist or a more detailed workflow that was attached to that workflow step. So there needs to be the workflow step, the detailed of how to complete that step, and then templates for things that are needed to complete the various steps of the process. So as an example, if there is some sort of form that needs to be filled out, that there would be ideally in the technology, that in the workflow engine that the company's using, that it would be possible to embed a URL that pulls up the document automatically when it's clicked on from their document management system without having to leave the CRM at all.
So let's say the first step when you onboard your new customer is to send them a welcome fruit basket or something. So that might have the link to the site where you order that and send that up.
That's right.
The next step might be a credit application that goes out to them.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is there would be another step in the workflow that either the original person or could be assigned to somebody else, maybe in the credit department or the accounting department, now knows that they're supposed to gather the data on the credit application, and that now populates itself and gets where it needs to go.
That's the kind of thing you're talking about? That's exactly what I'm talking about, and they can be different departments, they can be different office locations or different offices in general, but if there's a central technology that is managing this, a CRM and workflow engine combined, each task can be effortlessly and seamlessly passed on from one person to the next or from one team to the next without any communication.
Now, this system can be set up so that it sends a shock to the seat of the person that misses their task?
Correct. You can, not so much, it would be a shock as far as a nudge, a reminder.
Not that kind.
As far as I know, the technology isn't elevated to that capability yet.
Oddly enough, there was a minister on the East Coast that did that on the front pew of the church and had a little thing, and he made the kids sit there, and if they did something wrong, he actually sent a shock to their rear end.
Oh my goodness.
He got in a lot of trouble for that.
He might not be going to church as an adult.
So anyhow, we won't be sending shocks to people's seats, right?
No, but there are ways to program in reminders when a task is late, or it sends notification to the next person in line. So there's many steps of a workflow that can be automated. The more sophisticated systems actually automatically send out the form without a human even having to initiate it, as an example. So technology, especially in the last 5 years, has really improved to enhance what is possible to do on the workflow side of things.
Deborah Fox is with us. We're going to talk more with her about workflow and organizing your business when we get back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you go anywhere. The best is yet to come. Stay with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Did you know you could listen live on the internet too? Why, yes, you can. Go to www.espn1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Welcome back to ESPN 1700, broadcasting from the ESET studios. ESET Internet Security, do more. I like that. It's like pretty cool.
There's a nice ring to it.
Yes, it does. We're going to get back to our guest, Deborah Fox, in just a minute. Before we do that, I want to welcome a gentleman that's going to talk about something that's one of those things that you can do that you will never forget for the rest of your life. I like events like that in your life that are the unforgettable kind, where even if you only do it one time, you will remember it forever. Dakota Harold is with us from iFly. Dakota, welcome to BizTalk.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Montana, for having me.
Glad you could be with us today. I was just describing what you do at iFly as an event that people will remember for the rest of their lives. Describe what iFly does here in San Diego.
Yeah, I would love to. So first off, iFly is a very unique opportunity to have the experience of free fall conditions indoors. So we simulate what a live skydive with the free fall feeling is like indoors in a safe environment. We're a very unique company that essentially allows our youngest flyer at age 3 to participate in such an experience. And we have broken the 100-year-old barrier here and multiple tunnels, so spanning close to 100 years worth of flight at multiple locations.
Okay, I want to know the 3-year-old that did that, because that's got to be a cool 3-year-old.
And then somebody... We have found that, that there are a lot of thrill-seeking individuals at young ages and young at heart ages all across the country and internationally as well. Like I said, youngest 3 years of age, typically is a sight to see. Typically they don't have, the type of flight ability quite yet to really grasp any type of progression that is going to be seen in flyers that are a little bit older and kind of understand what the process of flight progression is.
So do they go in with mom and dad when they're that young?
So I'm glad you asked that. They can go in with mom and dad into the sub chamber, but the flight chamber itself is operated by our highly trained International Body Flight Association instructors. So each flight simulates a high altitude skydive, if you will, about 60 seconds of free fall conditions. And the instructors are always right at a arm's length away to assist, train, coach you so that progression comes more naturally and more quick.
Now, the device that keeps you from like landing on the ground, that keeps you suspended in the air, is it a propeller from an airplane that's below a safety grid?
So I'm glad you asked me that, Bob. Essentially, the tunnel itself, the flight chamber, you are solely suspended in air by wind itself and no other equipment whatsoever. We have about 1,400 horsepower worth of fans that essentially recirculate wind throughout the entire building and then compress themselves into that flight chamber, giving you a nice soft cushion of air that you float on. It's not the same as falling. There's no real falling or free fall. It's the reverse effect, where wind is actually rushing past you in an upward motion, so it simulates the exact feeling of that.
There is a top on it, so you don't get blown out the top and just keep going, isn't there?
Oh, it's an enclosed.
It's an enclosed.
It definitely
okay.
is an enclosed.
So you're not going to leave the tunnel. You're going to stay in there.
to the moon,
Alice. You'll leave the ground, but you don't leave the tunnel.
Do people come in and actually train if they're wanting to maybe go skydiving, but they're not sure? Is this a good way to get a feel for whether or not that's right for you?
Aaron, I'm really glad you asked me that. We are a training facility for the United States military. We are a training facility for professional athletes, skydivers alike. The San Diego market is a huge area for skydiving. Obviously, the weather permits jumping year-round. So this market has a very large experienced flyer numbers, and we get training taking place daily in our tunnel. And so it's a very unique experience when you walk indoors to be able to see the diverse group that we fly. Youngsters, young at heart flyers, experienced flyers, military. It all takes place right here in our tunnel. We also are a prime venue for large events, whether it just be maybe a smaller family event or, you know, a company's team building opportunity or even holiday parties. We host STEM field trips for school departments. School districts, and you have the opportunity to custom build any type of experience around the flight experience as well.
Outstanding. Now, the website is iflyworld.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, we have close to about 70 tunnels worldwide. And when we get to that main page, iflyworld.com, you'll have the opportunity to select a location, which then gives you specific location information about flight packages and all the offerings that we have.
And you have one in Southern California, here in the San Diego area, correct?
So we're right in the heart of Mission Valley, right off the 8, just a few miles from downtown, very accessible from any location in San Diego County. We have a few north of us, stemming all the way up to our Seattle, our northwest location, and throughout the entire country. So if you have the interest, which I know a lot of interest will be piqued, go to our website, check a location, see if we're close, call your local tunnel, and get something booked.
And you mentioned you've got one opening in Oceanside later this month or early next, right?
Correct. Yeah, we have one in Oceanside right off of Vista Way that is slated to open later this month. So we're looking forward to another great, amazing, state-of-the-art tunnel being opened right here in San Diego County.
Dakota Herald, thank you so much for being with us. And I hope lots and lots of people try this out because it sounds like it's a blast. I think we're certainly going to be down there. iFlyWorld.com is the website. Dakota, thanks again.
Bob, not a problem. Thank you for having me. And I would love to invite you guys down to tour the facility, take a flight, and essentially become, one of the millions of people who have taken flight with us.
I'm sure we're happy to take you up on that, Dakota.
Dakota, thank you so much. You have a great day. And everybody out there, check out iFlyWorld.com. That does sound like fun.
It does. I think I know what I want to do for my birthday now.
I'm blown away they've been doing it 100 years.
So this is going to save a bit of money because the cruise was the top of the list. Now, I'm sure this doesn't cost as much as a cruise.
Well, wait a second. It's not, in addition to.
I wonder if they do this on cruise ships. You could probably get a propeller on a cruise ship, right?
And then you wouldn't need a top.
You wouldn't need
to
a
the
top.
Tunnel. You just land in the water. Anyhow, iFlyWorld.com. Let's get back to Deborah Fox. Deborah, thanks again for being here.
My pleasure.
We were talking about the business organization and the fact that workflows are kind of the process that allow people to get things done, like onboarding a new customer, manufacturing a different part, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that kind of sounds maybe boring to a lot of people, that somebody has to sit down and work out all these different tasks and steps and pieces and parts. But for the financial industry, you've already done that.
That's correct. And it is a process just to document how things are done, how everything is done in the firm. I mean, in our firm, we even have it documented as to how the office should be cleaned for whoever would be doing that. So it does take time. You don't do it in one sitting. You delegate to people that are doing those tasks or doing those jobs and get their input, and you do it over time. But it is the most important thing to do. I can speak from experience. It took us 2.5 years to get our workflow system in place because we had no idea what we were doing. We couldn't find a model that would work for us. I finally went outside the financial industry to find something that we thought would work. And so it was our third try that ended up being the one that we used, and it did take us months to document everything. But after we had it documented,
Deborah, let me ask you to hold that thought. That's okay. I can't believe our time is already gone. We got a lot more to talk about. I want to find out, like, how many workflows, how many too many questions. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Hey, you got to stick around. The rest of the questions are going to be even better yet. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Be sure and tune in on Monday when we have two very interesting guests. We have Carlos Michon with Strata Equity Group and Joe Payne with Arcturus Therapeutics. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
I'm Bob Ryan. Glad you didn't have to say those names a lot, right? I mean,
yes.
That's a tongue twister,
yes.
There. We're going to get back to Deborah Fox. We have so many more things to ask, and I really am fascinated with this whole workflow organization thing because it is a killer for businesses that are disorganized.
It really is. Can I just finish my story?
Absolutely.
So what happened after we got our own workflow system in place, my personal administrative assistant walked in one morning and said, I'm so sorry to have to do this to you, but I have to move out of state today. And it was, you know, due to a personal situation, and handed in her keys. And we had an event that she was in charge of later in the week. It couldn't have been a worse time. Hmm. If we hadn't had all of our processes documented, we would have been dead in the water. So that's when I really became a fan. And there are so many industries that are great examples. Probably the construction industry is the best example of the art of workflow. I live downtown San Diego. I watched what is now the most expensive luxury high-rise condo building go up from the third floor on, and my jaw would be dropping many mornings watching the symphony of construction workers and how they do their jobs. It's all checklist oriented. It is amazing. And how airplanes are managed, it's all very checklist oriented. So there's a great book that I can recommend, The Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande. It is a fascinating read.
The Checklist Manifesto
by Atul, A-T-U-L, Gawande, G-A-W-A-N-D-E. And it is a great read, and it will completely convince you that if you're a business owner, you have to do this. And even if you just start with the processes that will make the biggest difference, whether it's small company, solo entrepreneur, or any business, and even personally, there are personal checklists that can be made, to your point earlier. It is a game changer. It really changes how a company can serve its customers and clients, the interaction of staff in an office, everything organized. It saves time. It everyone's happier. You put the right people in the right positions. You leverage technology that's available. And it's step by step. Even if you just had Word document workflows to start with, it will be better than not having anything.
How many workflows, separate workflows, would a financial practice with a couple of practitioners, are we talking that a practice might have 20 workflows or 200 or a couple thousand? And that's just for like a practice, and mm-hmm. obviously it would get really big for a manufacturing company. But how many workflows does one have when you're in the financial business?
So it depends on the type of workflow construction someone is using. In our case, as I mentioned earlier, the workflow to us is the high level view of what is to be done. So we probably have for delivering our services, we have 15 to 20 workflows, and then each workflow, of course, is much more sophisticated as you go down, the different people that are involved, the different supporting documents, templates, and checklists, and the procedures. So there's more complexity to each workflow, but it makes it nice when you have an elegant workflow construction methodology. You don't have to have tons of strands of different processes all over the place. It can be very organized, and especially if technology is leveraged.
So one of the things that I think is difficult, especially in small business, is it becomes kind of a family environment often.
Mm-hmm.
And when people start slipping up on their job duties, or they miss things consistently or whatever, it's a much more difficult conversation sometimes in the smaller companies than it is in the really big ones, you know, where people have departments and layers and layers and layers. It seems to me that having a workflow with all the steps in it that automatically occur when an order is taken for a widget, set of widgets, whatever.
It progresses to the next step automatically.
To the next step. And then if somebody misses their step, that now shows up on some kind
that's
of report
right.
that's they now know, other people know. It's not like you can hide
that's
it. You've
right.
got to do your job, right?
That's one of the beauties of this is nobody can hide any longer. When you're responsible for a task, you better be completing it when it's due. Otherwise, you're going to get reminders, and then it could get escalated to a manager or someone else to make sure that they're...
And they can't claim that they didn't know what their role is either.
That's right. And that's why it's very important to get buy-in from whoever works at the firm. Having the right people on the right process, as you've heard in the past, is so critical. And it honestly allows you to hire better people because you do have to get the right people in place to handle their responsibilities, and you know what type of personality and skill sets each person needs based on thinking through your business model and all your processes.
So workflows can make a company, it sounds like, a lot more efficient, and which would increase their productivity and make them more money. Do you have any sort of statistics that you can talk to people about how much money they may be losing out on because they don't have the right processes in place? Is that something that by industry or company type, you know, they might be missing out on 50% more? Is there any statistics like that exist?
There are, but you're right. It's going to be industry specific. It's going to be what type of service or product the individual company is serving or manufacturing. But I would say that I would feel comfortable saying that anybody that doesn't have written or documented processes in place, that does at least get basic processes in place, would at least see a 25% increase in productivity.
Deborah Fox is with us. She is an expert on workflow. There's got to be a better way to say that. Time management expert.
Efficiency.
There we go.
Efficiency.
Cheaper by the Dozen. Did you ever see that one?
I did.
The old efficiency expert. And it was a great movie.
Wasn't that a movie about a guy with 12 kids?
Yeah, but that you're probably thinking of the remake because you're too young to know about the original one.
I was going to say, you're dating us.
I know. The remakes, right? So here's the really important question out of this whole thing. Have you come up with a way to have crying emojis show up on the person's computer if, in fact, they miss a step? Or a finger wagging emoji when they don't do their job on time?
No, I haven't, unfortunately, been able to.
Okay,
do
there's
that.
A new one for you. Take the workflows. We'll put emojis into them.
I'm sure there's some tech that can do that now, though.
Yeah. Okay, there's a new business that we could apply for.
You've
money.
You've been on an emoji kick lately. I don't know why.
Because they're fascinating to me that grown men, I mean, like, I'm in my 60s, and guys are sending me emojis.
I know.
My dad's texting with emojis now. It's insane.
It boggles. My friends are sending me emojis, like smiling face emojis.
I know.
Who knew that I would be like sending cartoons back and forth with my friends? We used to laugh at stuff like that. Now we're doing it. Oh, that's so scary. I don't like that at all. So when somebody decides that they want to get their business organized and they're tired of messing up on the same thing over and over and over again, they're tired of having their employees and their workers not do their jobs and, oh, I forgot, or I didn't do it, or what.
How do you start?
Yes. You knew where I was going.
Of course.
Yes.
So the easy, this is.
Thanks for interrupting me. I would have gone on for a long time with that.
Thank you, Deborah.
Well, I know you don't have a 2-hour show, so I'm keeping you on track.
Thank you.
The easiest way, and again, trial and error, I can create or provide a shortcut, is to just use sticky notes and different colors of sticky notes, and you take a team that's, it could be just an individual working on their own job, or it could be a team of people, and different positions will have a different sticky note color, and you just, on the wall or on a whiteboard or whatever, and you start writing down how do you do things, and that way you can just move them around easily. You document how you do them, and then you look and say, how could we do them better? And then you idealize them, and then you make it a process. And that is the easiest way to do it, and it's amazing at how quickly.
See, your efficiency expertise reared its head right there. You've got me more efficient already just by cutting me off from babbling the whole time. Deborah Fox is with us. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We'd like to take a moment and thank our wonderful engineer, Jeff Bilodeau, music by Derek Audette, our interns, Sarah, Andrew, Leah, Deidre, Chrissy, and of course, our director of marketing and PR, Katie Jansen. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. In studio with us, efficiency expert.
I like that.
Me too.
Deborah Fox, yes. And by the way, Deborah has three companies, right, that you run. If you want to get a hold of her, the easiest website that she has to remember is foxcollegefunding.com.
Correct.
Because you also have another practice that you help parents with their kids' college funding and how they can do that.
Correct. That's that company where we work with parents that aren't going to qualify for need-based financial aid and want to reduce their out-of-pocket costs, so we developed a planning
process.
Yeah,
where were you when my kids were in college? Because, wow, it's expensive if you don't qualify for aid, right?
It is expensive. The college is, that's a whole nother conversation.
Because after they're through college, and then I qualified for aid. Because I spent all my money getting them through college,
right? There you go.
Is that something that they need to get in touch with you years in advance to plan, or is this
That's
something that
question.
They might have? I think you mentioned they have kids in high school already.
Right, there's two stages. There's early stage planning, college planning, which is when there is time to save, and it's a college savings or investing strategy. I'm at the spot on that company that is, okay, now it's about how do you position the student to get merit aid, and how do you do things with the admissions process and getting financially that's not based on the family's finances and organizing the process of it.
So if you can get them started early, that's probably preferred, but right. You guys have solutions if they put it off.
Well, if they're students in high school, it's a whole different process for college funding. I mean, it's just a different stage of it. So the students need guidance on how to position themselves for the best outcome on the college admissions process, and then the parents need the financial help how to figure out what's the most efficient way to pay, what assets should they use, tax reduction strategies, cash flow planning, that type of thing.
Other than retirement, college funding for the kids can be the single biggest expense, unless you have a lot of daughters, and it could be weddings too, because those get expensive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Saving for all this is a lot of work, and you need to do it well in advance if you can. Back to the workflow.
Yes.
Because I know we're going to run out of time here, and I want to get some of this stuff figured out that I have questions about for getting this stuff implemented. You said getting started. Great idea to use the sticky notes, different colors, and start to outline what you're doing. Once you kind of have it figured out and you've got the sticky notes organized in the right colors in the right place, and now you want to automate that, do you go to your CRM at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And most CRMs have the workflow capabilities to design those built in, correct?
Some do and some don't.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
Which
know there was one.
Which is pretty surprising.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine there would actually be a modern day CRM that doesn't have that facility built in.
When you're consulting with people, is it one or two that you specifically use or recommend, or can you do it on just about any system? You help them kind of walk through creating those workflows?
It can be done in any system, but on that side of things, in the financial services industry, I do recommend that they use the CRMs that are developed for the financial services industry, it from a compliance standpoint and whatnot. So it works a little better from although a CRM such as Salesforce for a larger mm-hmm. firm can be very customized, but it's going to cost probably six figures to do that. So that's not going to be for every firm. So there are some out of the box industry CRMs that I would probably recommend for cost and being able to get up and running as quickly as possible.
And for the ones that you recommend, you have actually built at your company, you've built a set of workflows, actually
right.
more than a set, right?
Right. We have templates that we created for everything that we do. And then we also, through the consulting company, we genericize them, if that's a word.
Genericize. That's mm-hmm. got to so be a word. Make it up.
I like
it's
it.
A new
genericize
word. Yeah.
So they can be customized.
Right. So a firm doesn't have to start from scratch, and we can give them these templates, and then they can just do some tweaking and cut off 3/4 of the time.
No, you don't give them to them for free.
No, that's part of our consulting.
Yes, what you get paid to do, because you put a lot of time and effort into that. I sat down to do one workflow. We switched over CRMs. I sat down to do... Well, actually, we all were working on a workflow, right?
Yeah.
It took us like 25 minutes just to get the basic steps down.
So once you start working on them, though, like the first one's the hardest, and then the second one gets a little easier, and then you get in the rhythm, and it's a lot easier.
But wouldn't it be easier if they just bought it all from you?
Well, but for someone that's in our industry, yeah, that's going to save them hundreds of hours of time.
For the people that are not in the financial services industry, maybe they're in manufacturing or they do something else, some other yes. service industry. Do you know of any people that do the same kind of thing in other industries? Is that common, or is it still kind of new yet?
Well, as far as like providing templates.
Right, right. What you've done for the financial services, are there people that do it for other industries?
I don't know of that because I am just in the world of financial planning.
So there's no convention for templates for workflows yet. It's not an industry.
There may very well be from other industries and manufacturing.
Time to start the convention right here in San Diego.
You might have your fourth business.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No, it's bad enough just with the... With this industry, I think. So.
Yeah, Deborah Fox is with us, Fox Financial Planning. She also has Fox College Funding. That might be the easiest website to remember if you want to get a hold of her, Fox College Funding. So people can call you if they're looking for the holistic planning, if they need college funding help, and if they are in the financial services business and want to get a hold of the workflow templates that you have.
That's correct. It would be more for financial advisors that are providing, you know, investment or asset management services or financial planning services.
If a company starts from scratch and they have a lot of processes, maybe they have 20, 30, 50 employees, is this the kind of thing that they should assign a single individual to oversee and run from an operations standpoint? Because it doesn't feel like this would work really well with everybody doing their own.
Absolutely. There should, for larger companies, you really want to have an operations person heading up the project and then some project heads depending, you know, that lead the departments. And the operations manager can segment the work so that, again, starting with the processes that are most broken or least efficient, that's where everyone will see the benefit of doing the work. If you take something that's really inefficient at a company and you build a process that all of a sudden makes a huge difference in how a task is done or the end result or the satisfaction of their client or customers, they will become a fan really quickly about getting the rest of their business documented.
In your experience with developing templates for businesses, whatever kind they are, would you guess from your experience that the processes that are difficult or they're inefficient are that way because nobody in the company likes to do it or wants to do that process, or it's just really complicated and people are trying, but it's not getting done? Or is it a combination of those?
It could very well be a combination. There are people that have been assigned various tasks that either they are not good at doing, not part of their natural skill sets, or that they dislike, and then it's very difficult to get good results. But it also, more than likely, is that nobody in the company has ever really sat down, looked at what needed to be done, and documented the steps in an organized way.
You were talking earlier about the fact that your workflows are very, very detailed. Like
yes.
when you do certain things, when you clean this desk, when you flip that light on, et cetera. Well, maybe not that detailed.
Yeah, maybe not.
Sometimes I think I need a workflow to put my pants on in the morning and get out of the house. So.
I'm a bit obsessive, so I do kind of go to that level. You know, you set the water glass here and you move it there. And then, so I like to get like really detailed. So my question is, do you get overly detailed sometimes with obsessive compulsive people like me?
That could be a factor there, because if the workflow is too detailed and it's laborious to use, people won't use them.
So a workflow with 282 steps is not that good.
Not good. Yeah.
So I got to back off on one or two of the ones I've done.
Exactly. and there's probably the best application for workflows or anything compliance oriented, very repeatable tasks that are utilized on a day-to-day basis. And I would say even risk management. As an example, being a financial advisor, we're very concerned about, when does the bull market end and the bear market comes in? How do we protect our clients? And we built a checklist.
Do you have the answer to that while you're here, by the way?
and the numbers for this weekend's lotto.
Yes, and the number for the lotto. So we built a checklist. Well, I'm calling it the outlier checklist. Like, we're afraid of a geopolitical event. What if North Korea actually
launches against
exactly.
Guam, yeah.
So what are we going to do? We don't want to wait till after it happens to figure out what we're doing. We've already had that discussion, and we've built an outlier checklist so that it keeps us rational, and we have our steps so that our emotion isn't going to get the best of us. Well, that's a pretty current example of where it can keep you not only a company sane, but make sure that the right steps that you've communicated to either your staff, your customers, your clients, that those things are in.
So this eliminates the fun days where everybody's running around screaming with their hands in the air because they're panicking. You eliminate
right.
all that fun stuff.
Well, I went through the financial crisis. I've been through 3 bear markets, and I don't want to go through that again.
If there were a company that really is very, very organized and has these processes, but they haven't moved to electronic, do you still see value for them getting an electronic CRM and moving all their processes there?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the next level of using workflows. Again, it just brings it to even a more efficient level of being able to utilize them. It's better to have the manual ones than none at all. But if you can leverage technology, and technology is very inexpensive now. It can be done for not that much money.
Deborah Fox, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
FoxCollegeFunding.com is where you can find her information. You've been listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
You folks have a great and prosperous day. Bye-bye.